Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Power of Love Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power of Love, sponsored by the Dee Dee Jackson Foundation, where we shine a light on loss and grief and how it impacts our lives. I am TJ Jackson, and with me I have one brother today. Drumroll, who is that brother? Am I the only one that's going to do the drum roll? I guess there's only one person in here besides me. Yeah, I didn't introduce you yet. You're not allowed to talk until I introduce you.
Amateur. All right,
and I have Taj, my brother Taj.
Yes.
How you doing, Taj?
I'm hanging in there. How you doing?
I'm pretty good. I'm pretty good.
I don't think I... Have I ever been this close to you?
No.
Yeah.
I don't think so. Normally a guest sits where you're at, but...
Yeah, it's interesting.
Yeah.
It's very intimate. I feel like you're interviewing me. Go ahead.
Today is Wednesday, January 30th. It's crazy that we're already 30 days into 2019. Yes. Where does the time go? I feel like as we get older, the time flies faster and faster and faster. We're already a 12th of the way done with 2019.
Yeah. That's
scary.
Crazy. Yeah.
Scary.
1 month down.
1 o'clock, 101 technically here in Los Angeles. And we are live on the Power of Love. So if you're listening to us, thanks for joining us. We will be opening up Twitter immediately. And the phone lines. We're going to take a lot of phone calls today, right, Todd?
Yes.
Is that the plan?
Yeah.
Well, all right, we're going to open up Twitter, taking phone lines. But if you don't want to call us, you could tweet us. And that is at DDJFOUNDATION. And that spells DDJ Foundation.
That was a little slip there, wasn't it? I was like, what are you doing?
So you could tweet us at DDJ Foundation. Or if you want, if you're brave, if you're strong, if you're confident... Or if you're bored, call us at 323-203-0815. Again, it's 323-203-0815.
We could really use your calls, too.
Yeah.
I really like talking to people. So
I
talk to
that.
Someone.
Yeah. Well, we are not licensed therapists. So anyone who's taking direction from us, if you're dealing with anything of trauma or struggle, we advise you. To seek professional advice, professional opinion on how to deal with your situation.
Are you improvising right now?
A little bit. I'm trying to break it up a bit.
Okay, I like that.
But yeah, Taj, so before we get into a topic, which is kind of floating out there, we should admit, let me ask you how your week was.
My week was... I can't even remember what I did last week. I know that that football. No, the football game was the week before.
Yeah, it doesn't even matter. You don't even watch football, so why are you?
I actually did watch that football game, the one that was the precursor to the Super Bowl.
Which one? There's two.
Both.
You watch both?
Yeah, and I've never. I don't usually watch. I usually only watch the Super Bowl.
That's how you.
We had some friends over.
Okay, I was about to say either that or that's how you know your father.
Some of them were from Brazil, and because of course Brady is, you know,
dating Giselle or married to Giselle.
I was wondering the connection of why they would want to see football, American football, but that was the reason.
So I know Giselle's going in Brazil, but assuming your house was going for the Patriots,
half of the house was. I wasn't, but yeah. You know me. So yeah, I wasn't going. I mean, it's just we won't even go into that. I think he has probably one of the best defensive lines.
Yeah.
It bothers me that there, and I now I'm doing what I always accuse you guys of doing, talking sports, but that I think any quarterback that has that much time to make decisions,
it's crazy,
is different. If he had the same pressure that other people would have, we've seen what happens.
Yeah, it's very true. With that said, though, it sounds like you're hating, and
actually no, because if he wins, he wins.
And we're talking about Tom Brady.
I would preface that with, you know, there's been talk that he's the greatest quarterback of all time.
Yeah.
The numbers don't lie.
Yeah, and you know what, Taj? Because I'm a huge sports fan, and football is probably not my favorite sport, but it's one that I watch a lot of as well. Not so much the last couple years, but in the past. And I would completely agree with you where it seems like this guy just fell into the perfect situation.
He can make a sandwich with the time that he has.
Where he gets a lot of time. He has a wonderful coach. He has a great system behind him.
Great receivers.
You know, and, well, the receivers do get little, they get slighted a bit this year, but in the past he's had great receivers. But they're very disciplined.
I saw some catches, that one-handed catches from with your left hand that were on the floor. And
that's true. They don't get the credit they deserve, but they are disciplined. But at the same time, you got to give them some credit.
100%. Because, and that's where the hating stops, because one time is a fluke.
Yeah.
Two times is kind of luck. Yeah. Three times and more, which is what he's done. I think he's at five. Yeah.
No. This is his 10th Super Bowl or no, but ninth or 10th apparent. In terms of championship?
Yeah.
I think he has five rings.
Yeah. That's not coincidence anymore.
And it's not like a sport where basketball, where it's easy to get back to the championship. I could predict to you who's going to win it and be very confident in basketball. But in football, it is kind of a more balanced play field. So what he has accomplished and the team has accomplished.
Yeah, that's
why. You have to tip your hat to him. Yeah. And this is coming from someone who never.
Me too. But never, you got to give credit where credit's due.
Got to do it.
Call it you see it.
With that said, what else was on your week? Anything?
Obviously, Taylor. You know, I have, you know, my baby, and I think that's just been, it's kind of learning the ropes.
Mm-hmm.
It's, we talk about kind of being put into a situation and not know.
Yeah.
It's really interesting because she's at the point where she doesn't talk still. She grunts or, you know, and she cries. And so I'm trying to, in my own way, trying to decipher what she's saying. I think every parent's gone through this.
Yeah.
You know, and she's very gassy at times, which is, she gets very, you know, she cries a lot. And so I think for me, it's been incredible just seeing her grow. And I don't know. I feel blessed.
Like, you should. Ty.
It literally is what reminds me there's more to life in terms of that. Like with all this crap that's happening, it's like, then I see her and she'll just be there looking at me and I'll be like, you know, okay, you know.
Yeah. Fatherhood's an amazing thing. And just, you know, I obviously agree with you. I always compare being a parent, the instant you become a parent or your first several months of parenthood, as going to color, going from black and white to color. You're all of a sudden, you feel like, is this what I've been missing out on? At least that's the way I felt. Mm-hmm. So it's really cool to hear you say that, Taj.
For me, it wasn't that. I mean, I already knew it was going to be color. It's just I never got the TV. Now I got the TV. So. I never was like, oh, it's, you know, it's different. I always knew it would be different, but now I actually have the TV.
Yeah.
And I can actually see it.
Cool. As for me, nothing much has been going on. It's very same old, a lot of work, a lot of family stuff. I've been playing a lot more guitar, which has been therapeutic and enjoyable for me.
Yeah, I could tell.
But you know, it's I'm not gonna lie, it's been a tough week.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a very frustrating week.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying to take the high road and not let it affect my life.
Mm-hmm.
The one thing I will say is it's not easy being in our shoes, because it seems like you're always on the defense, you're always on pins and needles, you're always, you know. And it's so incredibly frustrating and tiring, but we have to also understand we have a huge support system in the fans.
And we hear them.
And we hear you, and we are not ever going to give up. Some of us may need to recharge because it's incredibly draining, but don't ever think we don't care or that we will give up.
Yeah.
With that said, I want to take this time, and I know Taj and Taro, who's not here, but they would both agree, to every single one of you fans who are supporting my uncle and my family during this time, I can't thank you enough. We can't thank you enough, because our uncle always told us that the fans, his fans, were a blessing. And it's in times like these, when in a crazy world where you can make any accusation, and it seems like the more famous or the bigger the person you're accusing is, the more chance it has to be accepted, because the more it will spread.
Mm-hmm.
And in our world today, it's the more you see things, I guess it's always been that way, but the more you see things, the more obviously true it is, right?
Yeah.
And it's this really sad and flawed way of thinking, but it's the way it is. And I just, I feel for, like I said in a tweet, I feel for my uncle and I feel for my cousins first and foremost. I feel for my grandmother. I feel for our entire family. But it's just really, really disappoints and upsets me. I expect it from some people in this world.
Yeah.
But I don't expect it from...
When you start hearing it from other people.
From sources who have high-level positions.
Who should know better.
Who have a following. Who have a voice. And have never met my uncle. Or never experienced it.
But
or,
feel the need to
But feel the need to chime in and make their opinion known.
Yeah.
Or you know, and it's incredibly frustrating.
It's incredibly irresponsible.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially if you know you have an audience, it's incredibly irresponsible to take a side without knowing what you're everything about. That's
and it's not just taking a side; it's the way you take a side. Yeah. It's like an ignorant kind of.
It's a matter of factness, is what
and,
I call it.
And I'm very happy the family put out a statement, and it's a great statement. But to me, the most important part of that statement is the phrase, "Facts don't lie; people do." And that's a very strong, very, very strong statement.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that I wish our world would listen and hear.
Yeah.
I don't know when it became, I think I do, actually. I should take this back. I think with the Me Too movement, we've swung to a point where we believe every accusation.
Believe the victims first.
It's believe the victim first. And here's the situation. Obviously, any victim who's been abused in any way or mistreated, I want that voice heard. I want to support you, and I will support you, but you have to have integrity and you have to be truthful with what you're accusing, because when you don't, you're taking advantage of a cycle, in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And it's Hollywood and entertainment's a very nasty game. It's a very nasty game. It's a very power play game. It's the reason why I actually moved to Texas, a big reason why, to get away from it. It's disgusting. And when you have certain people involved who are after certain things, they can control certain things, maybe to take heat away from themselves or maybe to get something in personal gain by destroying another person. It's a real game. It's literally a game. It gets to a very vicious level that commoners and us mortals don't really understand. So, or really can relate to. I know I'm going on a little rant, but I'm just very disappointed with where our world is going, and it's getting to a point where it's just going to get uglier and uglier if nothing's done about it now.
Yeah, pretty much. I think it's going to get more divided, and I think the thing is that we've put so much importance in what people say, and not knowing if they're educated or not, or if they even know the facts of something or not. And
what happened to getting facts, to looking into things, to research, to seeing both sides of the story?
Because it's a race to be first, but then also when you have respected quote-unquote journalists that all of a sudden see a four-hour movie and now have their opinion, and opinion that other people that have known someone for 20 something years is telling you there's more to the story than that, and they don't care, then it's hard.
Yeah. Well, anyways, we're going to take phone calls. I don't really want to talk per se on that situation, but I do want to talk about what happens when you are wrongly accused.
Mm-hmm, okay.
What steps you could take. False accusations and gossip can destroy lives, even if the accused is innocent.
Mm-hmm.
If your reputation is under attack, here's some advice for taking your power back.
Okay. Ooh, interesting.
Yeah. So I think it's something that's important to discuss in today's world, because obviously everyone can get accused, and when you're accused, it can affect you in many different ways. You can lose sleep. You can lose focus. You can give up. You can get depressed. There's a lot of things that can happen when you're accused of things.
This feels more also like high school in a way. It feels like someone didn't like someone, so they spread a bad rumor, and it got around the school, and then because other people spread it and other people spread it, and there's no truth whatsoever, but it was vindictive in a way. And I feel like that's kind of what it feels like. It feels like social media just piled on mm-hmm. in a way, and mm-hmm. because it was cool to do. And so I see a lot of similarities between high school in that way, just growing up and knowing, you know, how easy it is to pick on someone that's defenseless.
I
never was like that.
You kind of went back to the documentary, right?
No, I'm just saying in general.
In general? Oh, okay.
I'm saying with, yeah.
I just, you know what it is? And for me, the last thing I'm going to try to say is...
Good luck.
It's just, I'm in this industry. So I know what the power of editing and the power of music...
Look at our show.
And the...
Look at our reality show.
And crashes can do in terms of drum crashes and, you know, strings and how it can emote certain emotions from the viewer. I understand all that, and I don't know at all, but I know how it can manipulate. And it's just disappointing because everyone's going to fall into that trap.
Yeah, someone fell. You're disappointed the people that fell for it.
You know what I have learned, though?
What?
And this is like the one thing I've seen or come about. It makes, you know how like amazing geniuses from hundreds of centuries, whether it's Mozart, mm-hmm. Bach, or, you know, any of those guys who are well respected. It seems like, and I didn't do my research, I should have, but it seems like all of them had some type of character, horrible character flaw. If you know, any listeners know, please let me know what they were, that society knows about them. Mm-hmm. And it makes me wonder if there's even legitimacy to that flaw. Because mm-hmm. I see what they're doing to my uncle. They're giving him a flaw that is going to...
They're tainting.
They're trying to make this flaw stick to him
yeah.
for hundreds and hundreds of years. I'm alive in this time, but eventually I will not be here.
Yeah.
And it will just be the media controlling what he was. Mm-hmm. Even though they never met him, they're going to control what he was. And it just, it brought it to my realization, maybe a lot of these people from the 16th, 17th, 18th century, these artists or these pioneers who had these issues, these craziness tendencies, maybe they weren't. Maybe it's just the way of media bringing them down or giving them a flaw.
I think that's one of the reasons why I always fight so much and fight for the truth, is because everything is a public record. Everything, not even for today, but 100 years from now, everything we know about Mozart, Debussy, you know, Michelangelo, Leonardo da Vinci.
Yeah,
it's like everything we know is only from what we read.
Yeah,
and that's the thing. And what will the news say when you type in Michael Jackson 100 years from now? Or you probably won't type it. You probably think about it.
And show up.
But even so, what will that say? And at least I want to be someone that counters the negativity, because it's not true. But they feel if they say it enough times in enough avenues, it'll become true. And that's just as powerful.
And that's the scary thing. That's the scary thing. And you should have to have some type of credibility besides being able to say something on a screen.
Yeah.
I can say something to someone in front of a camera and make them believe it. Yeah. If you give me edits, if you shoot it a certain way, if you put some great music behind me, if you put a story, if you bring the audience to that road, I can close that deal.
Yeah.
And I'm not an actor. But I can't.
I that's what I was alluding to with even our show on Lifetime. It's like there's people that have come up to me and been like, oh my gosh, you know, and a lot of it was genuine, but a lot of it we had to, I don't want to say recreate, but you had to sell it in a way. And as you said, we're not actors, you know. I don't consider myself an actor at all. Like, I think I'm one of the worst actors.
You actually are.
Thank you, because you know me, just like I
yeah,
know.
Because I know you,
know, and just like I know certain other people that are on TV, and I'm like, I can't see that because I know it's, you know,
you can see through it.
I can see through it, just like I can see through what this is.
Yeah,
because I know the person,
and
I think that's the problem, though, is that other people were like, oh my gosh, you know, I'm so sorry for this or whatever, and I'm like, you know, I'm like. It's we know Hollywood and we know the power of editing.
And the final thing I'm going to say, because I read the director's statement against our family statement, and he said it's not about our uncle.
Yeah.
It's about these two,
yeah,
quote unquote, victims.
Yeah.
So then why did you call it what you called it?
Yeah.
Oh, why is the title what it is?
Yeah.
If it's not about our uncle,
mm-hmm.
Why is the title what it is?
Yeah, exactly.
Don't tell me that. And this problem is everyone's going to believe that. They're going to see that and say, well, he, you know, these two guys are on the screen. They're on the screen 80% of the time. No, you called it that for a reason.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's a glorified ambulance chaser. He's someone that he made it a point. He wanted to make something big in his career. He even said that he was looking for something big and he found the court case. So to me, that's a glorified ambulance chaser. Mm. You know, and he also says that he really didn't want to see, he didn't go after any contradictory thing. So it's one-sided, it's flawed. And because of that, it's untruthful.
I just don't know how someone can live.
Oh, believe
me. Sleep at night with that mentality.
There's a lot of people that can.
That's crazy to me.
It's unfortunate because you can't keep you up at night. But there's a lot of people that can and that talk themselves into something and think that this you know. And I see it. And you know, they'll get their own.
Yeah. For some reason, the phone lines are awfully quiet.
Really?
I don't know if people are listening. Maybe.
You know.
With that said, though, let's discuss some of the things you can do if you are wrongly accused of something. Mm-hmm. The first thing, the vice is to accept that there's no way you can erase what has happened in terms of the accusation. Mm-hmm. Even though the accusations may be unfair and untrue, the situation is real. You need to get out of denial about that in order to deal with it in the here and now. Mm-hmm. And this is something that I think people go through because when you're dealing with an accusation, when you've been wrongly accused, you often want to avoid it because it's nothing productive comes from dealing with it.
Yeah.
It's an energy sucker. It's a time sucker. It doesn't allow you to go forward. Mm-hmm. You're going back for nothing. It feels like if you're wrongly accused. But you have to accept that that's part of the road, I guess. You got any input on that, Todd?
No, I think that's the thing. I don't think it'll ever go away. Mm-hmm. Even if you think it went away in your mind, there's some persons or whatever that will still believe it unless it's addressed.
What if it's on a minor scale? Let's just say it's in an office and you're accused of stealing, you know, the new keyboard from the newest computer.
Okay.
That's something that's not going to get blasted on Twitter. But if that something like that were to happen, how do you deal with that?
I honestly, for me, it still would bother me the same amount because it's actually attacking your character in that way. And I think that everything has repercussions. Mm. You might let it go, but then what if you bump into someone in your office 20 years later and you're known as that keyboard theft guy? And you're up for a good promotion or good job.
True.
And it's like, that's the keyboard guy. Yeah, I know him. He stole it.
So in your opinion, anytime you're accused of something, big or small, you need to fight it.
In today's world, yes, unfortunately. I would have probably said, leave it alone, ignore it 20 years ago. But now in social media world, any accusation, you have to hit it straight on because silence means that it's true. I hate to say that. You look at anything that's happened with any allegation in the past, you know, whenever social media has been at its height in the last 10 years, I would say. And if they don't address it within a certain time period, whether it's a week or whatever, the public starts believing it's true because why wouldn't they address it? They address everything else. They should. They show us what they ate. They show us their toothbrush.
That's a good point.
You know, they post pictures of them on vacation. So why are they so quiet now? And then why is they so quiet now becomes because they're hiding something.
I think that's a valid point. And anyone who's on social media who has some type of following, and if you are accused, I think you're right.
Now, the ones that are not, never post and whatever, if they get accused, then you don't expect them to post anything. You're like, okay. They never post anyway.
But at one point, Taj, it seems like, I'm not going to take anyone in our family, but just an athlete. Mm-hmm. An athlete is accused of something. He's probably, if he defends himself, makes it clear on social media he didn't do this, he's going to get accused of stuff all the time. Mm-hmm. So his feed is now going to be about denying things. And then there's the argument where there's smoke, there's fire, which I hate too.
That's one of my worst.
Which is so wrong.
Yeah.
Because it's like, that's basically saying if you repeat it enough, it must be true.
Exactly.
You know, and it's strange to me. I know you're a bit further down the line on that road. I'm not 100% there, but I respect your opinion and don't disagree with you. I just want to know, I'm curious to know, what is that line? When is that line drawn? Because there is a thing as bringing too much attention to something, or there is a thing of letting it take away your energy to continue forward with your creativity, with your athleticism, whatever it is.
It's a balance, and I think that's the balance that I'm even today with this. When I see Taylor's face, and I'm not, you know, and I'm over there with a phone in one hand, looking at tweets, and I'm looking at my daughter who's 2 months old and some change, and it's like, okay, I need to put my phone down and spend time with my daughter, because in the end, be all, you know, she's growing up, and I need to be there to see that. And I've done that a couple of times this week in terms of just realizing, oh my gosh, you know, I've spent more time on the phone than I have with my daughter. And so it is that. I agree with that. But at the same time, then I think, well, would I want my daughter to grow up in this atmosphere, you know, in this, with that lie
hanging
yeah, because so at that point, you know, so then I pick up the phone again and I start looking, because I'm like, no, I don't, and I'm not going to allow that to happen. So it's been that balance for me. And I think it depends on your your reputation. Mm. You know, if you already have a strong reputation and people give you the benefit of the doubt, it's a lot easier. But when you've been kind of secluded, or you've been different in a way that people can't identify how you act and they don't really know you. Which was the way back then, you know, with many, many different superstars, all of a sudden it becomes easier to paint a different picture. And I think that's the difference, is that that's when you really have to defend it. Because, you know, for all those people that are always on, people usually go, well, I, they don't believe it as much, because they're like, well, they tweet every day and they're not, you know, that's uncharacteristic. But when you're more secluded and you've not tweeted a lot, or you've not put stuff on Instagram, and you do something, people are more susceptible to believe it.
It's tough, man. It's tough, because I'm going to take the case of an athlete. If I was an athlete in my fourth year playing professional soccer,
and you were accused of,
and I was accused of something, and it's ludicrous. And let's just say I commented with the tweet, wrong, false, no truth.
Was this your word versus someone else, or is there some
someone evidence? Just randomly said something.
So that's
something.
Your word versus someone else.
My word against someone else. Okay. I said wrong. I've now brought light and retweeted this tweet to my tens of thousands of followers, or hundreds of thousands of followers. Yes. And now I've given this some type of legs beyond. So when is that line?
That's the million-dollar question.
You know, and so this is something that I think going forward for everyone listening, it's something you got to ask yourself. But then again, I think back to what you said earlier in the show 10 minutes ago about, to me, a false accusation of my character is enough for me to combat.
Well, every tweet is a record. Like, you can literally look back to 2000 something and see everyone's tweets. So those are public records. And that's an important thing too, because then someone would say, well, why didn't you mention this? Or why didn't you say this, you know, back then?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. No, another thing you can do, if you've been wrongly accused, is watch your catastrophic language. If you keep saying this is horrible and your life is ruined, you add to the stress. So put things in perspective. An innocent child in a burn unit of a hospital is horrible. Perhaps your situation isn't as tragic. Perhaps your life isn't ruined, but just damaged. Change your internal dialogue and you will feel better. What's your thoughts on that?
I totally agree. There's been times in this situation where I've actually been very excited in a way, because knowing, you know, what I know and knowing some of the things that I think I've caught myself almost being like, oh my goodness, this is the be all end all. This is my 2019, you know, with everything I had planned. Now it's all out the window. But then knowing the support and knowing, you know, the love that we have as well.
Yeah.
It's actually been something in terms of, oh my gosh, look at all this outpouring love, and look at all these people that aren't easily fooled.
Yeah.
It's turning a negative into a positive and believing it, because thoughts are are very powerful.
Another tip, and again, this is if you are wrongly accused mm-hmm. of something. This is for our listeners. You can ask yourself what you would like to see happen in order to clear your name. Is there anything that anyone, the authorities, your mm-hmm. coworkers, or someone in the community can do that could ever make the situation better? Mm-hmm. I think that's important to obviously clear your name in a more formal way mm-hmm. besides just social media.
Yeah.
Right?
I think so, too.
Okay. Yeah. Another thing, another step, another tip, begin with your inner circle. Start rebuilding your reputation with your family, your close friends, and your neighbors. You make sure that they know the truth. When your inner circle knows who you really are, they will go out into the world with the truth, and it will create a ripple effect. And if you are confronted with these false accusations again, you look the person in the eye and you tell your side of the story. You don't need to bring this up the rest of your life, but in your immediate circle and in this immediate time, you want to step up and tell them the truth.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what we're seeing. I think mm-hmm. the inner circle knows the truth, and they know the people involved. And I think that's what we're starting to see is that ripple effect. But it's happening a lot slower. But there's a ripple effect happening of people stepping up and speaking out now.
Yeah.
And I think that will continue to happen because everyone, but I think it almost has to hit them before they can speak out because a lot of people don't know what, you know, a lot of people aren't on social media every day. So yeah. Even so, every day there is someone coming out and saying this is baloney or whatever, but it's going to take time.
You feel that?
I feel like it's going to take time. I don't want to be negative, but I feel like it's got to reach the masses before people get so the people that knew him and that know the truth get so angry that they actually destroy it.
So we're doing a show on what to do if you're wrongly accused. Obviously, we keep teetering back and forth between our current situation.
The archive, if you're listening to this like 5 years from now, you're going to be like, what the heck are they talking about?
Or 100 years.
Yeah, 100 years.
Or 100 or 200 years.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. And part of the ripple to me is also the fans who knew him and the fans who studied him mm-hmm. and knew how he thought and knew his inspiration. Mm-hmm. I get so frustrated, Taj. Like, I'll be good.
I know you.
Boom.
I know you. Like,
I just lose trust I feel disconnected from this world. It's really interesting.
Yeah.
Because you have people with some following, some clout, talking about my uncle that they don't even know.
They don't even know him. That they never even met.
I spend 5 minutes with them.
But they spent 4 hours watching something and they think now they're an expert.
And that's someone that I've spent thousands of hours with. I know what he liked to eat, his favorite characters, why he didn't like those people, why he liked this, you know? And it's like they're trying to tell me or tell everyone what he was.
That they know him better than you.
Unbelievable.
That's the nerve of some people. That's the nerve of social media.
It's so hard to stay chill. But anyway, okay, so it's so
he's starting to move around in his chair.
I'm getting frustrated. We may have to close this show early. No, I'm just playing. All right, so another thing we could do is we can understand that people might come forward to admit they were wrong, and they might not. It is up to you to put this behind you. Give yourself what you wish you could receive from others. You need to say to yourself, I know I didn't do this, and I will give myself what I wish the community, the authorities, etc. would give me.
I think that works for some people, but when you're a celebrity with a target on your back, that does not work. Because as long as they know that there's still meat on the bones to pick, if they're, you know, the vultures, they're going to pick at the meat.
Mm.
And that's, I hate to say this, it's the honest truth. As long as they know that, they're going to be there. And I'm a little upset because in 2015, you know, something reared its head and I let it go. And not let it go, it disappeared. And so I just assumed that it was over. And now here we are in 2019 and it's multiplied almost, you know.
Yeah.
It should have been killed back then in terms of the rumor.
And here I am trying to think of what in humanity makes you do this.
Teacher, you got to remember that is part of human nature. I mean, you have people that were burnt at the stakes for people believing they were witches. You have, you know, McCarthyism, where people were convicted other people of being communists, and their whole career was ruined. You know, Chaplin, for example, had to leave the country, you know, because, you know, and then returned later on in his life after they realized what they had done. But it's like, it's not new, you know. It's human nature is to build someone up and then try and destroy him.
But it's, you know what? And it's so strange because I feel like in today's world where there's cameras, where there's social media, where there's, you know, it's the truth should be more readily available. It should be, you could spread facts quicker. Mm-hmm. So like if there was a celebrity or a superstar from the 60s that was accused of something and I'm in Dakota and I'm not seeing any of the facts, I just got to go by what this guy on the radio is telling me, you know? But in today's world, you can actually just Google facts. You can, you can look up FBI
reports. You don't have to be ignorant.
You don't have to be ignorant. Mm-hmm. But what's so crazy to me, it seems like we're still choosing to be ignorant.
Yeah.
And the ones who, it seems the way to combat facts is by playing a victim or playing, you know what I mean? It's like, because the truth of the matter is this guy who's accusing, or these guys who are accusing our uncle, they have now, in my opinion, they have made themselves, they put themselves in a position to make some serious money.
It's all about, it's always been about money.
They were, one of them was denied publishing several years ago when he wanted to publish a book on this. But I bet you today he can get that book published.
Oh, 100%.
He can get a nice advance. And what I don't understand is if we know that, why isn't that, why do we as a society just overlook it?
Because it's not part of the narrative. Narrative is to make money.
But, and I believe most of the media has a narrative, but there's some that have a following that are just flat out ignorant with it.
Yeah. That's been the surprising thing for me.
What is going on in their mind, in their brains, where they don't?
Because they have friends in the media that they trust in a certain way, and they've heard certain things, and so they go off their friends over even their own intelligence.
What to do if you're wrongly accused?
Also, can I give you a great example?
Yes, you're still on.
Have you ever seen a movie where you liked the movie and everyone else hated it, and then all of a sudden you start wondering, what was it really as good as I thought it was?
I think that's happened to me in the past. Now that I'm older, I'm more sure.
Exactly. Like... exactly. Because you know your thing. But that's happened to you, right?
Yeah,
you're like,
maybe I missed something.
Or you've watched a movie that everyone thought was so funny or great, and you're not, and you're like, maybe something's wrong with me.
Yeah.
That's what this is. It's, you want to be part of the masses. You want to be in. And so right now being in means, you know, believing one thing.
Yeah. Okay. If you're wrongly accused... Again, this is to everyone listening. It's important that you teach people how to treat you. I like this. If you walk into the world and you're hanging your head and you kind of don't want to look anybody in the eye and you're shameful, again, even if you're innocent, then people will treat you that way.
Yep.
So you have to be your own best friend and you have to decide who you are at the core. Begin the process of closure by not reacting to what you think people are saying about you. If you allow yourself to be intimidated, feel guilty, or shrink away because of what people think, you are putting yourself in a prison.
Yeah.
And I think that's very strong. Mm-hmm. I'll admit, I've never really been accused. I probably have, but actually I have. What am I saying? I've never really cared. I don't know why. Maybe because this all comes natural to me.
Yeah.
But when it's someone like in this situation, I care more now than I have when I've ever been accused because it's so wrong to me.
Yeah.
But anyway, sorry, I keep going back and forth myself. But what's your opinion on that, Taj? The importance of being you and being upbeat, still not letting this drag you down.
It's funny you should say that because I actually posted on Twitter a couple of days ago, I think. I mean, it all flows, so I don't know if it was yesterday or a couple of days ago. But I said, be proud, keep your head up, you know, And I was basically saying, because we're in the right, we have the truth behind us. Mm-hmm. And it was also saying it to myself, you know, because I know what the world's saying about our family. And I know what the world is saying about, you know, my character even, or your character.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I'm not going to let them dictate that. And I know what my uncle was, and I know the character he was and the beauty that he was. And I'm not going to let someone that's never met him dictate that.
And the amazing thing is,
I have so much pride.
Let me say one more thing, too. And again, this isn't supposed to be a show on this, but it's happening in our lives. It's happening in our lives. So we have to be truthful and authentic.
If you're a host,
I know.
It's like,
trust me, it's hosting 101. I get it. You got to be authentic. So it's hosting 101.
Yeah.
I just want to say one thing.
Yeah.
To all the people, well, two things I want to say.
Yeah.
To all the people that have supported my uncle, who don't work for him any longer, but have worked for him in the past. Mm-hmm. Carol Lemires.
Yeah.
Karen Faze.
Yeah.
Even Michael Bush.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who else. There's probably been several others.
I
want to thank you, and my brothers want to thank you guys for being truthful, because the truth of the matter is, you know, you can easily sell a story the other way and make yourself $100,000.
And probably have been offered.
And make yourself $100,000 plus richer.
Yeah.
By just saying one thing. And I commend you for being a person of integrity.
Integrity. Yes.
And I thank you for that because, like we started off the show, I believe this will come and go, but I care about protecting my uncle's legacy for centuries.
Yeah.
I know how much he wanted to make a powerful statement for a lifetime. Mm-hmm. And I feel this is a cheap way to try to lessen the amazing man he was. Mm-hmm. But it takes all of us, including people who actually knew him, people who spent hours and hours every single day with him, to say something. So for you people that have done so thus far, and there's many more that haven't done it publicly, who have reached out saying that we are here, just let us know what you need. To all of you, thank you very, very, very much.
Yeah.
Right?
Ditto. I agree with that.
It's important, you know, and
it's everything.
And even for the people like the Corey Feldmans and Macaulay Culkin, and you know, Corey Feldman's getting offered something.
Please turn.
To just say something else. I was seeing on the Vlad TV, I saw on Twitter. I don't know if you saw that with Ron Newt. Did you see that?
I did see that.
He was offered $200,000.
TJ, that's not a non-common story. That's a common story.
But again, coming back to these respected journalists, these people, and not the ones who are pushing the agenda, but the ones who should be balanced and are trying to play it even.
Mm-hmm.
For them, do they just ignore that? Do they not see that?
I don't think they do as much research as we do. They don't. We're in our own bubble too, so we're in a. It has to reach the masses somehow. You mentioned Corey Feldman. Corey Feldman's been dealing with this for years now. You know, trying to ring the bell and let people know. You know, there are true, you know, pedophiles out there in Hollywood, and he's just started to make progress with that, and you know, and it needs to be. And I almost feel like our uncle's an scapegoat, kind of like a distraction. Don't look here, look here. And they know it's an easy distraction. It's something that has been proven. It's something that they used in 1993, you know, and they're using now. And you know, it's not a coincidence that movie came out the same time that another movie was I don't know if it was premiering, but it was airing at Sundance as well. And so there's a lot of things, and I think the fans are very well versed, and I think there's a lot of people that are very well versed, but they're not the one with the megaphones. So you know, we're telling each other, you know, but there's some people else announcing to the world.
What to do when you're wrongly accused? Another tip for you. Here we go. Don't try to address every accusation. If you decide to start defending yourself, that will become your full-time job.
Mm-hmm.
If you answer every story, every piece of gossip, every allegation in your life, that's all you will ever do.
Mm-hmm.
You will be completely consumed by this, and it will take over your life.
Yeah. that actually is where I'm trying to balance now. Because it literally is. And I kind of made that conscious decision, you know, when I'm doing like a counter documentary, I was like, I know what 2019 is now, you know, and I had to make that conscious decision. But at the same time, I also balancing it because I don't want to look at 2019 and go, oh my gosh, I didn't spend a lot of time with my daughter. I'm very conscious of both because she's what matters as well.
Yeah. Another tip, stop reacting to the rumors. You give it legs by reacting to it. Don't draw attention to yourself defending the rumor. You need to give yourself permission to just live your life. If there are people out there who think something about you that you don't like, then those won't be your friends. There will be other people who will like and respect you for who you are, and they will be your friends. Again, this is, I think, on a much smaller scale.
this isn't really pertaining to us. I was going to say, this isn't on a global scale.
But this is for you, listener, if you've been accused. These are tips. Okay, here's another. Stand up for yourself and say, I'm taking my power back. I'm not going to give them the power to pick my feelings. They're wrong, and I can look myself in the mirror knowing the truth. You have to decide that you believe in who you are, what you stand for, and what you do. And you just need to go forth and do it. You need to walk forward from the situation. Who you are and what you do, that will win out in time. Mm-hmm. Any thoughts?
I agree with that.
Okay.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that because you do have. It's not that you have to put it behind you, but you have to move forward because else you get stuck where you're at.
This is an interesting tip. Mm-hmm. Again, if you're wrongly accused, know that it's important to feel a twinge of guilt, even if you're completely innocent. We always hear about guilt by association, but there is also guilt by accusation. People hear something negative and tend to believe it. If you accuse a person unfairly, he or she still has that twinge just from having that finger pointed at him or her. Mm-hmm. I've never truly experienced that.
Of accusing someone?
No, if I've been accused of something, feeling like any type of guilt. I felt anger. I felt frustration, but I haven't felt guilt. But I assume there's people out there who do feel guilt, you know, and I guess it's the point is to tell you that it's normal, even if you're completely innocent, to feel guilt by accusation.
Interesting.
Yeah. All right. And the final one, Taj, the final tip, if you've been wrongly accused, is to not fall into the trap of acting out with non-directional frustration. The stress that comes with being wrongly accused can lead a person to act out with those closest to them, like a spouse or a child. Mm-hmm. Remember that the enemy isn't your loved one. It's an outside force.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that's very important. I think that's important. That's very important. If you're wrongly accused, it's simple to take that negative energy and just forward it or pay it forward to those that are closest to you, those that are supporting you. But the tip is, don't let that happen. It's an outside force that is causing this. Mm-hmm. Do not take it out on those closest to you.
Yeah.
Any statement on that?
No, I agree. I've caught myself a couple times doing that, and you know, luckily I've caught myself before, you know, I've done it, but yeah, you have to, because there's so much frustration, so much built up energy, especially if you just read a tweet and it's just like, and then you're also getting called to do something and you have that anger and you want to respond, but you know, it's interesting. It tries your patience, but you have to take a deep breath.
We're going to close the show. This show was about being wrongly accused, but it was interesting. I was going through some documents.
Ooh, okay.
And there is a People magazine from 1987, and there was an article on Uncle Michael. And in it, there's a picture of a letter he wrote. He left this on stage in Japan, and said this letter would be his last words to his critics. Obviously, it wasn't, but this is what he was going through with things then. Like the old, this is the quote from my uncle written down on a letter that he left on stage. Like the old Indian proverb says, do not judge a man until you've walked 2 moons in his Moccasins. Sorry for
I know that quote. That's why I only know.
Most people don't know me. That is why they write such things in which most is not true. I cry very, very often because it hurts, and I worry about the children. All my children, all over the world, I live for them. If a man could say can say nothing against a character but what he can prove, history could not be written. Animals strike not from malice, but because they want to live. It is the same with those who criticize. They desire our blood, not our pain. But still, I must achieve. I must seek truth in all things. I must endure for the power I was sent forth for the world, for the children. But have mercy, for I've been bleeding a long time now. MJ.
Yeah.
And that's just... I saw that this morning and just felt so bad because he's been dealing with that decades before his passing.
Mm-hmm.
And it just brought up an idea that we can't, as males, I guess we can't say we love children or we live for children. Mm-hmm. I guess it's taboo, and in his situation, it can get retangled and re-misconstrued to be a sinister thing.
Yeah.
But I will say this. My uncle loved children. He loved to help children. He loved to support them in what they wanted to do. He was for children. He believed in them. They were the ones who treated him with the most fairness. They didn't look for $1 million contracts from him. They didn't see him as a step in their goal. They were the most creative creatures before adults contain us.
Mm-hmm.
My uncle was a creative man. And he felt they didn't have a voice.
Yeah.
So he felt he could protect them.
There's an innocence with the child in terms of you're not born racist, you're taught racism. You're not born hate, you're taught hate. You're not born to go seek $1 million, you're taught to seek $1 million. And I think that's the thing that he always cared about children was because they had an innocence. They just cared about him, not how much money he was making, not that he could give them this or that.
One final thing. Stop portraying Neverland as a place where thousands of people, of kids, foster kids, and handicapped kids didn't go to.
Yeah.
Show that. Show the
Make-A-Wish people.
The Make-A-Wish people, all these kids, adopted kids who went there,
over there,
who were bussed over there all the time so that they can enjoy and have the time of their lives. Show that. Unfortunately, the media won't. So with that said, we want to thank you guys for listening, and we hope you've learned something, something you could take with you if there ever comes a time when you are wrongly accused. Here at DDJF, we're just trying to make life easier. We're trying to bring hope and inspiration back to your life, and we want to thank you all for your support. We want to wish you all a wonderful rest of your week, and we will see you guys next week. Adios. Thank you for listening to The Power of Love. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Support for our Power of Love radio show comes from a variety of generous donors, including supporters from institutions, individuals, and corporations through the D.D. Jackson Foundation. DDJF is a nonprofit 501c3 organization.